So in the new covenant, we have an identity, we have privileges, but we also have responsibilities. Oftentimes, we pay attention to only one aspect, but we have an identity, and usually it's the identity part that is always emphasized, but we have an identity, we have privileges, and we also have responsibilities. A few of those things. Number one, we have forgiveness of sins. Number one of those things we have is forgiveness of sins. In the new covenant, we have forgiveness of sins. We have read from Hebrews chapter 8. In the new covenant, where it says, I'll be merciful, Hebrews chapter 8 verse 12, to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities, he said, I'll remember no more. Now, if you're a believer, please have these things I'm going to share. These are the things you move with on your fingerprints. Okay? When someone gets born again, these are the things you're supposed to first tell them, or they're supposed to first know. Okay? So we have forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So in that redemption, we have forgiveness of sins. Again, it says, according to the riches of his grace. So that's something he did himself. So Colossians 1:14 also says the same. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I told you those two letters were written at the same time in the first session. So most of the stuff, they carry most of the same stuff. Then 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. All these ones are on forgiveness of sins. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Hallelujah. These are called new creation what? Realities. He's a propitiation for our sins, but not ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Then in verse 12, he says, the one I love all of them. I'm not supposed to love. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. By confession? Your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. So forgiveness of sins is for his name's sake. The second thing we have in the new covenant, we have been made right with God. Number two, we have been made right with God. Romans 4:25. You can print this, put them on your wall, look through them every time. We have been made right with God. Romans 4:25. He says, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Hallelujah. So the death of Jesus is for your sins. And then in the resurrection, you are made right with God. Hallelujah. You have a right standing with God. Do I have reconciliation here? I don't think I have reconciliation. Okay. Romans 5:17 up to 19. Being made right with God. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they that receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. It says in verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so the righteousness of one, the free gift, came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So that's the key there. These verses are not teaching universalism, because this is the argument some people say. Some people say in Adam we are all sinners. That is not really true. But if in Adam we are all sinners, it then would imply that in Christ we are all made righteous. So that's why he says, shall be made righteous. Because in Romans 5:12 we had said, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And then he said, death passed upon all men, for that all men had sinned. When you read the word all in the Bible, all doesn't mean everything. There's a simple illustration I use when I say all. If I say, Sister Teresa, Brother Marino, Sister Julia, Brother Jackson, all of you come.
Do you see the people who have come? All. Not all of you. So, all is specific to the context I'm referring to. Thank you very much. So, it's that simple. When you see all in the Bible, it doesn't mean everything with the exception of nothing. It means all or everything directly in that context that I'm discussing. So, when he says, by one man sin entered into the world. Now, Adam is not the father of sin. Adam, I'm giving you a summary. Please bear with me. Adam is the example of how men sin. Remember how we were teaching Abraham? So, sin comes into the world, comes to every man, just like it did to Adam. It's not saying Adam is the father of sin. Now, why do we say this? People say that children are born with sin. Because if you say, in Adam, everybody is a sinner, it means if a child died, it would go to hell. Now, even you, if you were God, can you send a child to hell? Huh? What kind of wickedness would you have to send a child in hell because they did not accept salvation? But when he say sin entered, the word is isekoma in the Greek. It means it came from outside. And if you enter this room, you came from somewhere. So sin entered like an invited guest. And Adam and his damsel invited. So that is the way every man invites sin. So when sin is welcomed by man, death follows sin. How is that so? Because God told Adam, the day that you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. There is no fruit you can eat and die like that, unless it is poisonous. But you can die after eating a poisonous fruit and resurrect. But this fruit that causes eternal damnation cannot be a natural fruit. Are we together? So he's going to explain how we say sin happens. So he will use Adam as an example. The same way he explains faith using Abraham. I hope you know Abraham was not the first person to believe God. It says that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, to which God gave testimony that his gifts that he was righteous because of his gifts. So Noah moved by faith. All those are before Abraham. Abel moved by faith. Hallelujah. And these are in Hebrews chapter 11. Enoch too. Okay? Noah built the ark by faith. So, but they use Abraham as an example. He wasn't the first. Same way we use Adam as an example. Even though, according to our Bible, he's the first man. Okay? So nobody is born a sinner. Because if you were born a sinner, if your parents were sinners, then if your parents are righteous, you'd be born righteous. Isn't that so? So when he's describing here in Romans chapter 5, he's not talking about a corporate identity of man. But every man will have a choice. No more shall this proverb be heard that the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on the edge. The soul that sinneth shall die. Amen. Children are not inheriting sin anymore. Actually, they have never. There was a gap in understanding there. So now he will use the contrast. By one man's offense, death reigned, because death came because of sin. So, by one man's gift, which is Jesus, by which many are made righteous, they also now reign in life. Praise the Lord. Someone is grateful. Amen. So, Romans 4, 25 is that. He was delivered for offenses, raised for justification. Romans 5, 1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said justified means just as if. It's some revelations. See, the word justified is just as if. So justified means just as if you never sin. Rocho?
Justified is a legal term. Do I have some lawyers here? It's a legal term. Now, you know, some people don't understand what Jesus did. So you trivialize your justification. That is why you say, God, I don't want you anymore. Now I want you. Because you don't know what happened. If you really knew what happened, you know, I saw something, you send back and get back and send back. Okay. Let me bring it to where you understand. Where you recommit your life every week. Because every day you are carrying a life. And you take and give it to God. I don't know when you take it back. Then 2 months later, another altar call, you bring it again and give it. The first problem is in the theology. In salvation, you don't give your life to God. Ephesians chapter 2 says you are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein you walk according to the course of this world, according to the priest of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So a man who is not born again is dead. So remember we said the just shall live by faith. So the just are made alive by faith. So you are dead. When you believe, you become alive. So in believing, you're not giving your life. You are receiving his life. Let me say what you like. The Zoe of God. Now, it is in consecration that you give your life. In service, you give your life. So you cannot consecrate without salvation. You cannot give God a life you don't have. Are we together? So even justification, some people think it was a simple thing. Jesus came, he died. And I watched a drama and then they said, if you're here and you are not really, really, really sure, close your eyes. Stand up. Then, no. We can't trivialize it like that. I mean, I'm not saying that is wrong. I'm just saying a person is supposed to hear the gospel very well so that they know what they have believed. This is why we're having all these American celebrities writing, I thought God was wise. I have now come to walk away from the faith. Have you ever seen that nonsense? Two things. Either they were never born again, or they are just going through a tough time. You know when people go through a tough time, they leave ministry. Hey, those ones just leave church. You just say, Pastor, give me some time. There are some things I need to deal with. I know I have witnesses. There are some things right now in my... Oh. So you take a break. You take a break. Because for you think there is a time which is perfect to serve the Lord. When I am married, I have 2 children going to Vine. I have my house. Then I'll come to the ministry. Right now, Council Kengolechi. You will never serve God if you are like that. So, justification means that God has to do right. Now, doing the right thing does not mean he just looks over sin. That wouldn't be right. The just thing is sin has to be punished. Are you seeing where it comes from? So when sin is punished, that's where the essence of substitution comes in. Someone has been substituted to take that punishment on behalf of another. So when the one they have taken the punishment on the behalf of now accepts the rightness that the other person who was innocent, because he made him who knew no sin. He says he made him who knew no sin to what? To be seen. Do you see that? It's not a small thing. Now, so if he made him who knew no sin to be seen for your sake, so that you would be made right with him, Then you come out and start telling him you're a sinner. You have not understood. You deserve it. But you know, honestly, if you go through the Bible, sometimes you can see the frustration of God with his ministers. I mean, he tells Moses, I'll be with you. And then Moses says, I don't know how to talk. He says, where? I said, me. You get that? Oh, Gideon. And it's all over the Bible. Oh, when he tells Ananias, you go, there is a guy, he's praying, Saul of Tarsus. Go tell him the things he must suffer for my name's sake. Then Ananias tells Jesus what he doesn't know. You see it? So Ananias tells Jesus, this guy has been persecuted. Like, Jesus doesn't know that, do you know whom you're sending me to? Amen. And he says, no, I don't know. Go. He's a chosen vessel. So we need not to trivialize these things. Like I said, every point I'm giving you is a doctrine in itself. It's whole. And the more you understand it in details, the more you appreciate it and walk in it. The reason some of us have guilt and shame and fear, because we have never understood the reality of the new creation. So every time you come to worship God, you remember your past. That is called sin consciousness. It goes away by understanding. It goes away by the gospel. Hallelujah. You see someone, you come to church, you say, rejoice in Jesus. They are like, huh. Then come and rejoice in you. So something in your mind tells you, even you. So this knowledge of God is supposed to come, and then it tells your conscience, you are delivered. You are right with God. Shame away. Guilt away. It is paid for. The issue sometimes in church is we just make these statements and people never understand them. So just say, I am the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness. Say it. Say you are the righteousness. Someone moves out, that righteousness stops at the door there. Even though it is important to confess the word of God, but the word of God can so become a reality that you need not confess anything to believe it or walk in it. You know it. You know, Jesus walked up to the tomb of Lazarus and said, God, I know you hear me, you heard me. I am just making this prayer for their sake. But for him, he knew. By the time he told Mary, he shall not die, he knew. So now he came to show these people so that they will hear. So you need to build an understanding and a capacity on the inside of you that the reality of the word is your reality. It's not just a church reality. This is why we come to church, we get hyped, then we leave church and we go back down. A believer is not meant to live like this. Up and down and up. By the time you reach Wednesday, you are, you're finishing. Like I said, the Cassandra dose is getting finished. You leap through the front door. They first give you the praise God. So you come slowly. Right time with Jesus. So you are entering. So that's why when the preacher stands up, you expect him to say, you are walking this week. This week you're standing up. This week you will go back. So you feel it. When you go back out, on the door, someone first tests your patience. A taxi guy. He will say, singa siwa de mulokore. But there are realities you're supposed to walk with. You're supposed to know. So we labor to explain so that there is nothing we are forcing you to say, but it's what you've seen. Remember where we came from in Ephesians? To make men see
Paul preached the gospel and then he perceived that a man had faith to be healed. He first left the crippled there. First left him. He first dealt with the gospel. Then he saw that this guy had faith. He said, now stand up. You have got it. I may make you stand up right now by gifts of faith. You will go outside, someone remind you, don't throw away your walking cane. It can come back. Then you catch it. You meditate on it. 2 days later, you get your cane again. And they say he lost his healing. No, he never had understanding. You get it? So when understanding comes, deliverance comes. Remember? Praise the Lord. Are we together? Amen. So 2 Corinthians 5:21 we have read. The third one, we have received the indwelling of the Spirit. This one is the most powerful reality. We have received the let me say it like this. We have received the abiding indwelling of the Spirit. Say it. Because sometimes we act like David. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. We have received the abiding, remaining, indwelling, continuing, staying, ever present Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 16. He says, I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Comforter in the Greek does not mean, how do they say this in English? Soothing, yeah? Massaging. No, sometimes massage is actually not comforting. It's pain. You ever bring the nigga when they send to Zang is in Menirat. And they're just So maybe massaging is not, but soothing. So the Holy Spirit is my comforter. Sweet Holy Spirit, I welcome. You see, sometimes it's because we have read them in English, we start to read it like that. So when you don't feel that sweetness, you start saying, where is the Holy Spirit? This is a reality. It's not a feeling. Let me read for you some things. Where am I? He says, he'll give you another comforter that will do what? Amplified. Will abide with you. We are going to read it in first person, right? So Jesus prayed the Father that he will give me another. This is the person who made the mistake by making it all these things. Whatever, let's leave. I'm interested in the last part. Counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with me forever. Now, do you think God answered that prayer? If Jesus said that God gives you the Holy Spirit to stay forever, is Jesus a liar? So for you, the Holy Spirit, who lives you? Whose is he? No, you tell me. That one who goes and comes, whose spirit is he? Is it the spirit that binds us? Other witnesses have come. You know the spirit that binds us? These people are holy. Amen. Even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now look at this. Because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him. For he dwells with you and shall be in you. Hallelujah. This is the new covenant. I will dwell amongst them. So even the essence of the tabernacle and the tribes of Israel staying around, what is trying to paint that? I'll dwell amongst you. But this time the intention was not to dwell outside amongst. The intention was to dwell inside with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God. God's gift to us. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? Are you seeing the temple now? And the Spirit of God dwells in you. So the other one was the worldly sanctuary. You are the spiritual sanctuary where the Spirit of God dwelleth. Say dwelleth. Say the Spirit of God dwelleth in me. If you have chilim, you also say it. He dwelleth. Yeah, say it in King James. The Holy Ghost dwelleth in me. Forever. Oh. So you see, that's why when they tell you to speak in tongues, you just start. Because the generator of them is inside. When you don't speak in tongues, you are refusing. It's not that you don't know how to speak in tongues. You have refused the Holy Spirit in you. Who gives utterance? But when you don't open your mouth, the utterance can't come out. It just remains. You know, some people say, it's burning. I would say sometimes some people fall in church, but they never say anything. They just fall and do. Open your mouth and let the Holy Ghost out. Amen. Utterance. So a believer doesn't need to be wound up. Wound up. 2 hours for you to climb. So that the tongues. And they come out. Jebebe. Like a teaser. Until the next 2 hours. No. I am born of the Holy Ghost. I just start Kabre Vagila Dusaka Pekengo Vrabe Kuse Kande De Prekusa. You know what? Let me show you something about tongues. It is illegal to come for this conference and not speak in tongues. I refuse it. I forbid it. Let's go there in Isaiah. Sure. Why not? Who knows where I'm going? Huh? Isaiah 28. My God. So, when Paul was explaining tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he used this text in Isaiah. But I'm going to start from something I should have taught in the earlier session. Let me start from verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast. Look at how it happens. For precept must be upon precept, line upon line upon line. Here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall back and be broken and snared and taken. No, actually, I'm supposed to start from 11. Sorry, where did I go? I jumped. Precept must be upon precept, verse 10. Line upon line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. That word another tongue in the Greek is what they will call new tongue, kainos glossolalia. Another means a completely different one from human language. Because it is a language of the Spirit. This is why Paul says, when you speak in tongues, your mind does not understand. This is why he also teaches in 1 Corinthians 14, that if you intend to minister to someone, you cannot speak in tongues. Because how shall they say amen? So tongues is ministration. One, to build yourself up. Jude and Paul attest to that. But also you're speaking to God. It's the urgency by which, allow me to use this word, we enter the other gifts of the Spirit. Tongues is the door. So a person can begin in tongues and end up with prophecy. A person can begin in tongues and end up with workings of miracles. Because in that tongues, you first build yourself in the most holy faith. You begin to speak mysteries to your mind, but revelation to God. Because if they are mysteries to God, so who do they benefit? If also God can't hear them.
Hallelujah.
So you are not speaking mysteries to God. By the Spirit, you're speaking something which is unintelligent. People cannot get. That's what he meant. He's not saying you're speaking mysteries to God, as Kose said. So usually when you speak in tongues, then revelation comes. Usually as an interpretation. So sometimes before we pray for people, we first pray in tongues. Then we get the direction and then we pray for them in understanding. If you don't do tongues, I don't know how you do this Christian faith. It's hard. So, because tongues in Acts chapter 2, when we see that whole thing demonstrated, it says the Holy Ghost came upon them, he gave them utterance, and they began to speak with other tongues as he gave them utterance. The people spoke in tongues. The Holy Ghost did not speak in tongues. Let me try this side. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. How do we know they were filled with the Holy Ghost? They began to speak with other tongues as he gave them utterance. This is why when you come to Acts chapter 10, the reason how they knew that they were filled with the Holy Spirit is that they heard them speaking with other tongues, interpreting to give and magnify the Lord. So you get filled in the Spirit with utterance. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Do you see what he compares being filled with the Spirit to? Being drunk with wine. I know there must be a witness here who has ever been drunk with wine. I have never. But there must be someone here who knows how you be drunk with wine. People who are drunk are too talkative. Am I lying? Even the quietest people who just start to split for Ukraine in Russia. They are full of wine. Jesus says, this is the new wine. The one they bring at the end of the feast. So, a believer is a talking spirit.
Hallelujah.
A believer is a speaking person. He cannot be silent. Kalabazivakata, rikapakata. I am born of God. I am forgiven for his name's sake. I am bold. Shyness is not a fruit of a spirit. When they were filled with the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 4, they became bold and started preaching. I've even gone far. When Jesus was arrested, big bold Simon Peter, Cephas, the Peter, a small girl like this, came and said, aren't you in Jesus' protocol? He said, me? Where? How? I have never seen Jesus. He went another place. Another person came. You guys gave us bread. Me? We just look alike in Jerusalem. 3 times. But when the Holy Ghost came in Acts chapter 2, he stood up before 300 devout men and started preaching. We are not drunk with wine. It's only the 3rd hour. This is that which was spoken of Joel, saying, afterward it shall come to pass that I'll pour out of my spirit. This time not pour upon, but pour out of. Because when the agents of the Spirit is on the inside, you now pour out. Not a pour.
Hallelujah.
Pour out. And he started to preach. He started from Joel. He went to Psalm. As he was preaching, he said, ah! Just like when Stephen preached and they gnashed at their teeth. I said, Bitocha! The same way Jesus on the road to Emmaus, did not our hearts burn within us? This is what happens when a man is now full of the Holy Ghost. And he preached. They just said, sirs, what can we do? Batandikira mu tongues. Bible buza tongues. their salvation. Because tongues are a fruit of salvation. So every person born again has capacity, ability, possibility, and the avenue and the occasion to speak in tongues. Kalavaziba, Privagiga, Suva, Pegengo, Gongo, Zofa, Kikata. And you see, sometimes that's how you're speaking, Gagavura, Katila. And then things come to us like, hey, hey, hey. Sometimes then we go into other things like joy. All those are all responses of the Spirit. Then you read when he said Paul was pressed in the Spirit. God was a pressed area. It is the Spirit emotion. Then he says, I see that God is raising strong ministries. From where? From tongues. Strengthening people. That thing which you feel burning on the inside of you is the Holy Ghost seeking expression. So, we just feel, but the problem is believers haven't been trained how to yield. So just be there and say, one sermon a guy came to me and said, I don't know what happened to me. I just, like, I don't, he told me, I don't think you understand what I'm saying. I told him I understand. He said, no, I felt everything in me as saying I feel like inside the back. I said, he's the Holy Ghost. He's the Holy Ghost. God's gift. Amen. Let me hurry and I conclude. If I talk about the Holy Spirit, I cannot end. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Ephesians 1:13. You trusted and you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of your salvation. Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Ghost, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Number 4, lastly, as we prepare for question, in the new covenant we have the ministry of reconciliation. Once you come into righteousness right now, once you come into the covenant, look at this, Abraham again. Once he believed, now he's the one to be a blessing to others. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, any man be in Christ is a new creation, creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become. And it says, all things are of God. All things of God, who has reconciled us to himself. And that, what has he done? He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has done what? Committed to who? Unto you, unto me, the word of reconciliation. So, understanding does not come to stop with you. It comes to establish you, but also make you an agent to extend to others. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew 28:18-20, we call the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to what? Every creature. So in Mark 16:15-18, and look, the Great Commission, the ministry of reconciliation. So in the new covenant, we have what? Identity, privileges, responsibilities. Do you receive it? Do you receive it today? Hallelujah. Amen.